The county's number one talk show, The 9 Till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
The 9 Till Noon Show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit Union. Call us on 074-910-2126 or apply online via our app or in office today.
And now, it's time for the talk of the Northwest. The 9 Till Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It's 5 minutes past nine on this Thursday, the 12th of January. I do hope you're very well and I hope you are with us for the next 3 hours. Loads coming up in the programme as always. Some interesting conversation. 086 60 25,000. WhatsApps and texts to that number, 086 60 25,000, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000, 074 91 25,000. Comments come into us at the email address comments@highlandradio.com, and if you want to watch the show, hop onto our website, click the watch live, or go to YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or across our Facebook pages. Effectively, you can't escape us. We are everywhere and we want you involved. Right, now let's kick off with a look at the news papers, and there are quite a few of them because it's Thursday. Let's start with the Tyrconnell Tribune. Mystery over Remelton vandalism. Gardaí are investigating a bizarre incident of criminal damage in Remelton where a precious tree was destroyed and a nearby shrub was cut down in a front garden of a private residence. The incident happened on a property at St Mary's Terrace last Thursday evening in an area of high visibility, and Gardaí at Milford are appealing for help in solving the attack. Local resident Ulrich Kuhlmann returned home to find that an intruder had entered her garden and deliberately cut the branches of a special species of plant that had grown to over 10 feet and had been there before Mrs. Kuhlmann moved to the property in 2006. Another bush was also destroyed. Let's crack on to the Donegal News now, and their front page this morning. Water fiasco. A Falcara restaurant owner has revealed how he has had to close four times in as many weeks because of water outages. And we've spoken to this person in the past, so this is the most recent incarnation of his water problems. Business owners in the area say they are at their wits' end with the constant supply disruption, which is costing them untold amounts in lost revenue. Irish Water has claimed that a lightning strike on its treatment plant 3 days before Christmas was to blame for at least one outage. But local traders say the problems have been ongoing for years and continue to hamper the day-to-day running of their operation. And I believe that is the same system which we're being told it's going to take 200 working days before a part is found to leave it back to the state it was before that strike. Let's go on now to the Donegal Democrat. Uranium fears at wind farm development. There are fears that any excavation work for a proposed 19-turbine industrial-scale wind farm in West Donegal might not only trigger more landslides, but could activate uranium deposits scattered throughout the area. Danish company Ørsted and a Quilter ESB renewable energy joint venture called Future Energy Ireland are exploring the potential to develop the proposed wind farm near the Clogher-Cullion and Clogher-Cor areas near the Guevara estuary. Locals, including the Guevara Conservation Group, feel this is a totally inappropriate location for the multi-million euro project and feel special areas of conservation areas of geological interest, and some of the county's most scenic areas are also under threat there. Let's go on to the Irish Independent now, and patients are waiting 24 hours for a bed in 17 hospitals, and unfortunately, needless to say, Letterkenny University Hospital is one of those. Patients are waiting 24 hours for a bed in 17 hospitals yesterday as the winter surge in emergency care continued to take its toll. The HSC's own 8 a.m. trolley count of patients in emergency departments, excluding those on trolleys in wards, showed 70 patients across the country had spent 24 hours or more waiting for a bed. The highest number facing this delay was in St Vincent's Hospital in Dublin with 12 patients, followed by 9 in Cork University Hospital, 8 in Dublin's Mater Hospital, in Letterkenny University Hospital and 7 in St. Luke's Hospital. 5 patients were on trolleys for more than 24 hours in Naas General Hospital and in Sligo, with 3 in Mercy Hospital, Cork and Tallaght Hospital. So my apologies, I did state that Letterkenny was one of the hospitals with a patient waiting over 24 hours. It was in fact Sligo that I was looking at, so my apologies there. Needless to say, obviously there is a trolley wait, but not as extensive as I first indicated there. Right, okay, on to the Irish Independent now. And sorry, it's actually the Irish Times this morning. Varadkar warns there may not be room for refugees. There are growing fears in government that accommodation options are running out as the number of Ukrainian arrivals is expected to increase, and hotels will seek to take back rooms currently occupied by refugees for the tourist season. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar warned yesterday that the government was not in a position to guarantee accommodation to everyone who arrives in the country. That's just the reality of the situation, he said. We will do the best that we can for people, provide them with shelter as best we can, provide children with education, Mr. Varadkar said at a post-cabinet press conference at Farmley House in Dublin. But what I can't do, he went on to say, is guarantee that there will be that we'll be able to find accommodation for everyone who might arrive in the country, whether it's from Ukraine or elsewhere. Ministers and senior officials fear a squeeze on accommodation in March and April as hotels begin to seek the return of their rooms following what's expected to be a resurgence in numbers arriving over the coming months. There was a fall off in refugees numbers arriving over the Christmas period, but this is expected to increase in the new year. And the reality is unfortunately that all signs are pointing towards an increased Russian offensive in spring, and that means more people will be displaced and will move to all different parts of Europe, and that includes, of course, Ireland. Harris says hate mob travelling across country. This is the Irish Daily Mirror. Simon Harris has said he believes there are people travelling from one part of the country to the next to attend demos outside hotels providing accommodation or shelter to asylum seekers. There have been a number of rallies in recent weeks, including several days of protests at a Travel Lodge hotel in Ballymun, Dublin. Videos circulated online showed people chanting "Get them out" at the hotel that is accommodating 221 asylum seekers, including 9 children. The demonstrations have widely been condemned by politicians, including Taoiseach Leo Varadkar and Housing Minister Dara O'Brien. Minister Harris said, we do very carefully plan these protests. Sorry, Minister Harris has said, we do, it makes no sense at all, actually. It's completely misprinted here. I think what he's saying is we don't mind protests, but simply just not there. But unfortunately, the way it's been quoted in the paper, the sentence itself doesn't make any sense. Right, any views on that? 086 60 25,000. Right, on to the Irish Daily Mail now. And hundreds of people are expected to gather in Tullamore today to mark the first anniversary of the killing of Aisling Murphy. The 23-year-old primary school teacher was killed while jogging along the bank of the Grand Canal in the County Offaly town on January 12th last year. The young woman's family and friends will be among those attending St. Bridget's Church in Mount Bolas, just outside Tullamore, at 7 p.m. today. Their colleagues at Durrow National School, along with people involved in local music groups, will also be at the Mass. Prior to the Mass, a vigil will take place at 5 p.m. today in Kilkenny for Aisling and other women who have been killed across the country. And unfortunately, you know, maybe people would have thought that awful, awful tragedy would have been a turning point. But unfortunately, that is not the case. And very recently, we had another woman who was the victim of a violent crime and very sadly also passed away. Right, OK, it's actually really quite difficult to believe that that's a year ago, but it is. On to now the Irish Daily Star. And Mary Lou slams Brit petulance is the headline on this story. And we can read on to find out more about it now. Sinn Féin party leader Mary Lou MacDonald has been excluded from talks with British Foreign Secretary James Cleverly on the Northern Ireland Protocol. Roundtable talks had been expected to take place in Belfast yesterday, including the Northern Ireland Secretary Chris Heaton-Harris. A Sinn Féin party spokesperson said the progress made on the protocol this week is welcome and must now inject fresh momentum into talks between the EU and British government to reach a solution. Sinn Féin was hoping to build on that progress at today's meeting with the British Secretary of State and Foreign Secretary. However, in an extraordinary turn of events last night, we were informed that the British government is excluding the Sinn Féin party leader Mary Lou MacDonald from today's meeting. No reason given, but there are meetings taking place today as well, of course, and Sinn Féin, I believe, are part of those. On to the Farmers' Journal now, and their headline, McConnellogue scraps suckler cull schemes. Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnellogue, has shelved plans for suckler cull schemes, saying they are now off the table, which is going to be good news, I presume, for some within the farming community. Both the farm organisations and the processors are in agreement that they do not want a beef reduction scheme, so that is something that's off the table, he told over 350 farmers at the IFA's climate summit in Limerick on Tuesday. However, the minister said he would be looking at a dairy exit scheme and would engage further with the Food Vision Dairy Group. The consensus of the Food Vision Dairy Group was that a cow reduction scheme should be examined further. Again, if that is something that you want to have a conversation on, 086 60 25,000 is the text line there. Last but not least, it is the sun and sad news as it relates to Riverdance legend Michael Flatley. He revealed on his social media that he's facing a new cancer battle. The 64-year-old, who recently starred in spy movie Blackbird, which he also wrote and directed, last night broke the news on social media. The message on his Facebook page said, "Dear friends, we have something personal to share. Michael Flatley has been diagnosed with an aggressive form of skin cancer. He has undergone surgery and is in the care of an excellent team of doctors. No further comments will be made at this time. We ask only for your prayers and well wishes. Thank you." So it's always sad news to hear that someone is facing those medical difficulties. All right, you're very welcome back to the programme. So we mentioned on the programme yesterday something that was launched towards the end of last year, ChatGPT. And we're going to explain to you precisely what this is and maybe tease out what... firstly, it's like Google on steroids, but so much more. And it's only going to develop even further over the next year, as is AI. So it's something we're going to be talking about in a while. So we want to get in early on the conversation for all of you listening out there. And to help us do so, we're joined by a couple of guests. So I'll say good morning first to Jenny Darmody, editor of Silicon Republic. Good morning, Jenny. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you with us. Right, OK. So for those who've never heard of this, talk to us about ChatGPT. What is it?
So ChatGPT is essentially an AI software tool. It's a text generating tool. And as you said, it is a little bit like Google on steroids. It's very, very advanced, very, very predictive of what the user might want. So you can put in questions and it'll give back quite detailed answers, but you can also kind of give it the, if you give it the right prompts, it can generate much longer things, anything from songs, recipes and essays and things like that.
Yeah, and I have seen some people go, well, I had a look at it and it's not all that, and it's clear it's this, that and the other. A lot of it depends on what you input as to what it outputs. And I've read some comments from, some people that know an awful lot more than me. And when the information of what you want out from it is inputted in a certain way, there are some that find it difficult to differentiate between it and the work of a human.
Yeah, so it has become very, very advanced, and it's designed specifically to sound really conversational, to sound really human. But yeah, there is still bias issues that come into play with AI, and there's still problems. So it can spit back out information that's not necessarily correct, but it doesn't tend to let you know if it doesn't know the answer. It tends to spit back the answer as best it can in a very confident way, which brings dangers of misinformation and things like that, and especially if it's being used in a sort of a content generation way and that stuff isn't being fact-checked, that can lead to serious problems.
There's different views on the plagiarism element to this, because it doesn't necessarily, my understanding is, and I'm open to correction on this, it doesn't cut and paste paragraphs per se. It seems to be more, it interprets it more. So it is possible that on the face of it, it would be plagiarism, that it might not be as easy to pick up compared to someone cutting and pasting an article themselves from the internet into the Work for College or for school, for example.
Yeah, so essentially it is a language model and it's learned how to react and behave based on massive, massive data that's already on the internet. And that's basically where the plagiarism element is coming in, because it's learning from language and information that's already out there. And if it's piecing together enough of it from different sources, it can sort of circumvent those plagiarism elements, because people who tend to copy and paste, you know, the plagiarism software is designed to spot those kind of sentences that are lifted directly. And if it's spliced together, that's how it can kind of get around those issues.
Yeah, and of course, too, I mean, I suppose we ourselves, depending on how AI advances, I mean, do we really have many original thoughts? You know, we ourselves are taking bits and pieces, be it consciously or subconsciously, and creating a piece of work, albeit not be able to be picked up by software properly. So, as I say, this is the first iteration, really, of it that we've access to. I think later on in the year, it's going to be able to access live information. Do you know, I believe at this point, it's working off a block of information in the past. Do you see this? I mean, I also read from one academic that said this is the death knell for universities if they don't change. So, do you see this as a positive tool for education? In other words, if it's embraced the right way, or perhaps maybe it skews everything. Will every piece of work that's produced now in months and years to come be suspected of being from ChatGPT? Do you know what I mean? How do you see this fitting into education, especially as it evolves?
There definitely is already, there's a lot of concerns in the academic community, I think, around this. And I think there's already several researchers and developers who are working on sort of plagiarism tools for things like GPT. They're looking to design these tools to actually detect whether or not it was created by an AI tool. So I think those tools will come more to the forefront. I think the biggest concern really is, you know, as you said, you could argue that there might not be original thoughts anymore, but I think students who might put a direct prompt the right way into an AI tool and asking them to write a critical essay about something and getting their homework done for them essentially removes the problem solving, the critical thinking that comes with creating an essay like that, even if it is just a case of doing the research and finding other people's thoughts and putting together. That's how people kind of develop their critical thinking. Mm-hmm. So I think that is a big concern. But there are other ways it could be used. I've heard of some students have, or teachers have, used the AI to create an essay based on, you know, a particular topic and then given it to their students and asked them to take it apart and critically assess that themselves. So it could be used in positive ways.
All right, we're also joined by Professor Kevin Corran, a regular guest on the show. He's a professor of cybersecurity at Ulster University. Professor Corran, good morning to you. Great to see you again.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, what's your take on this?
It's a powerful tool. It's been around for a while, but it's because they've released it to the public. Now, Google also have a similar system as well, and that caused headlines a few months ago where one of their researchers came out and said that he believed it was sentient, that he believed...
I think he was sacked for that, wasn't he?
He was. So again, we're seeing this because it's been released to the public. Now, if you try and go online today, or even last night I was doing it again, the site is oversubscribed, actually. The site is not working for... It's too many people on there, but... it's just we've just kind of gone to a new level, really, with a tool which is being released to the public, again, which really comes back with quite good answers whenever you type something in a natural language.
But this is a huge do you think, maybe I'm overstating it, I actually believe this is going to be not necessarily ChatGPT in its current form, but in terms of what it can create in terms of image, music and stuff. And this is really the first iteration we've kind of seen of it. So I think this is, I don't know if you agree, Professor, I think this is really quite a significant, or it will be seen as quite a significant step forward in technology. At least front-facing that we can see.
It is. I mean, obviously, it does one thing. What it does, it enables us to interact with a computer, which actually seems to be a human. And that's what it does. So therefore, it has consequences in a lot of areas. Of course, one is that now you can be given a question by a teacher and you just type the question into OpenAI's ChatGPT and it comes up with a beautiful essay and whatever else. But there are tools which allow you to get around that, because there are so many cheat sites out there where you type in a question and it literally has all the answers from the previous ones, because examiners around the world and lecturers and
I think
teachers.
This is the creative element, though, that is, I think this is sort of stepping into.
We've reused questions again. So even there's a photo math app, system where you just take a photograph of your maths question and it comes up with the answer. I mean, there's tons of stuff like that. So yeah. We're dealing with that for a long time. That's why you got to have, well, not creativity. You got to form your questions properly so that they're not searchable on the internet. And that's what we have to do. And of course, we'll have tools to be able to see, is this generated by ChatGPT? But this is modern life we're going into again. So we're dealing, and even things like this, I mean, this can be used in some ways in cybersecurity as well to cheat people, to have people phone up and seem that they're dealing with someone legitimately and giving the right answers, and it enables operators to do more. So in other words, it's kind of we're into a new era.
Yeah.
Computer is sounding like humans.
And Jenny, you know, it's clear that, you know, Professor Corin and his university are well across this, you know what I mean, and quite rightly so, you'd expect it. And the reason partly to also kind of wanted to have this conversation is that I think there's an awful lot of people in education, maybe not at third level or wherever, that may be not familiar with this or what its capabilities. So they, I'd be of the opinion that I think everyone in education should know about things like this so they can either use it as a tool or, you know, be able to find some ways to sort of spot if it's being abused by students, if you could call it abuse.
Yeah, and I think if you're going younger as well, there was a discussion, I read an article with teachers who talked about it, but they were mostly from the slightly younger, not college age kids. And probably one of the easiest things that they could spot was that it was the language was far too advanced, you know. So like a 9-year-old might not write the word tumultuous when they're writing an essay or things like that. So there are spots. And as Kevin said, there's, you know, cheats and workarounds that have been around for a long time, long before AI was being used. So teachers and educators, I suppose, are well above looking for these things. And, you know, not everybody uses plagiarism software. So, you know, teachers tend to have an eye for, you know, this looks a little bit suspicious. They might not know why straight away, but they know it looks suspicious for some reason. And yeah, I do think that they should be aware that this tool exists, but also not hide away from it completely. As I said, it could be used in a clever way to sort of introduce this to students and explain why this stuff, like, you know, humans still need to be in the loop and things like that. So I think it's a good way to introduce them to it, because it's not like children and kids won't grow up knowing this tech.
Just to broaden out a bit, Kevin, you know, you talked about for some it could appear to be like talking to a human, and this was someone's source information, say, for example, instead of your likes of a Google. There are already some accusations that this ChatGPT, in terms of the results it returns to you, has political leanings, you know, now, and no one is in control of this. What I mean is, like, this is kind of open source, or at least that's how it appears. But already there are some suggesting that it favours, you know, it's maybe more left-leaning than right-leaning, for example. I mean, as we move forward in the years ahead and we're engaging with AI, maybe that will become more of an issue.
Yeah, there's ethical concerns in artificial intelligence, for instance. We've known that because, for instance, a lot of AI, artificial intelligence, is used for facial recognition. of course, yeah, whenever you unlock your phone and whatever else, there's AI in there, and also for databases. But it was found years ago that people of color were unfairly discriminated against because the training sets, again, which were used to train these facial recognition algorithms, were generally made up of white middle class technology people, again, and it didn't have access to Asian faces and people of color as well. So these things can happen, you know, whether, you know, meant to be or not. An AI tool is only as good as the data that is trained on. And of course, ChatGPT, again, is limited that it doesn't know anything about the world in the last year, that everything that's been trained upon so far was from 2021 previously. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's got big gaps in its knowledge about a modern world as well. But data, any AI tool is only as good as the data is given, because to train this ChatGPT as well, there was humans involved in the loop, what we call reinforcement learning. So they typed in questions and it might say, what color is a tree? And if the ChatGPT at the time came out with a nonsensical answer, they would kind of correct it, feed it back in again. And this is called reinforcement learning. So humans were involved in training this. But of course, that's only it. It's kind of like a kickoff part again. There'll be less humans needed in the future.
All right, Jenny. So finally, what do you think then? How important do you think, you know, this or other incarnations of it will be in the future? Do you think it is something maybe, you know, those in education need to ensure they're on top of if they're not already? Or is this just a fad or something?
I definitely don't think it's a fad. AI tools like this, it won't be just GPT. It'll be many other tools. And as Kevin said, AI is in everything and it's continuing to grow. So I think it's something that educators and everybody needs to be aware of, because it will continue to grow this year, and many other companies will come up with their own tools. But I think both from being wary of students using it, but also educating students about it is really important, because that bias piece is so, so important, because it's essentially learning. Like, it's not sentient, despite what a select few people might think. It's not sentient. It's learning from humans and data that's gone into the internet, which is incredibly biased, as we all know. An internet search can be very biased. And even when you're searching questions, you get bias reinforcement of your own thoughts and things like that. So I think there's a lot of education that could be done here for students as well, as they move forward into a world that is surrounded by AI.
Jenny Darmody, thank you so much indeed. Editor of Silicon Republic, where do you think this sits in terms of our lives going forward? Kevin?
Yeah, it's a huge step for mankind again. But also, Microsoft have a tool called Vali, which synthesizes voice. In other words, with 3 seconds of audio, it can replicate your voice. So therefore, if you have 3 seconds of my voice, then you just type away and actually it could sound, you can actually sound like me on the phone. And this is being used by scammers to phone up people and have money transferred, where the people in the accounts department swore they were talking to their boss. And this is, you know, it's also, it's in the same field again, really. But again, so these tools are actually quite incredible. In the future, you will have to have passwords on the phone because you can't trust voice in the future.
Scary. And you still believe our phones don't listen to our conversation and target ads towards us, do you, Kevin?
They don't.
Yes, they do. They do. Come here.
Because it's your searches, everything else.
No, I know, but I was talking to someone, right? I respect your view because you are a professor. Explain to me. I'm speaking to someone, right? I was speaking to someone a couple of days ago who had a blocked ear, right? And I suggested that they went and got their ear syringed. And I'm a critical thinker, don't get me wrong. That evening, now I can tell you, I Google some stuff, but not this. That evening, across Facebook, across all the Meta platforms, I was being fed ear clinic adverts. How could that happen? It's the coincidence of coincidences, Kevin.
Yeah, but quite a lot you can trace it back even to credit cards, because credit card, we forget that. We think being tracked online, but every time you do a purchase with your credit card, that data is so long, you know, to third parties. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, but you're right. But they don't listen because it would be an outcry. Look at the people who work in these companies are like me, they're techies. They can't do it. It would be the ultimate privacy invasion, really. So they can't.
I get you, Kevin. And listen, I'm sorry to finish on such a note after quite an important convo. Lovely to see you again, Kevin. Let's leave it not so long before the next time. Thank you so much indeed. Take care. Paul, sorry, you've been holding there waiting patiently. You were having a look at ChatGPT. What's your review of it?
I think it's excellent. I think it will be used for plagiarism, unfortunately. So Academica will have to work out some way of maybe be more making people be more creative and critical thinking and things like that. But it's another stage up. I created a poem in a minute. Like, for instance, if you said to me, if you gave me a topic, I can do a poem in a minute on it.
Yeah.
I've done a song about Highland Radio. It's just so amazing. So,
like, well, actually, what I might do next in the next ad break, I will ask it to write a poem about Highland Radio, and after 10 o'clock, we'll read it out and see what it says. I mean, I've spoken to you before about parental alienation. It's something that you're very passionate about and speak out about quite a bit. Did you use it to sort of, try and be creative on that issue? And how would you rate the results?
I rated the result very highly. Very highly. It gave a very good definition of it. Very objective one, I thought. But as your expert said, there could be biases in it, and they will affect anything. But in Google, there's biases. Everyone uses Google every day. In Academica, there's major biases, depending on in politics, there's major biases anyway. So we have to be very aware of all them things. But no, regarding the definition and that about parental alienation, for instance, it was very good because it's an area that people will conflict about, you know.
All right. Listen, Paul, lovely to chat to you. Thank you so very much indeed. All right, we'll be back with more after the break. All right, welcome back to the programme. Joined on it now by Senator Aisling Dolan, Fine Gael Seanad spokesperson for Education, Further and Higher Education. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, and thank you so much.
We, on programmes like this, and I'm sure it's the same across the country, it's just a matter of time every year before we start getting calls as it relates to the school transport system. There's always... Now, I think it's fair to say from the beginning, I think for the majority, people are satisfied, but it does seem to always leave a large... a significant number of students and their families left out or upset. You know, it's people losing out on seats because of a lotto. You know, someone in an office somewhere drawing names out of a hat. I mean, in 2023, we need to be coming up with a better system, surely.
Well, look, it's absolutely true. I think, what was really fantastic is that last year we had nearly another 44,000 children. So, you know, families using school transport to get to school, which is taking car journeys off the road. So, you know, that was a really positive outcome. But
sorry to cut across you, Senator. What figure did you say of extra seats that we had?
So there's in total this year 121,000 tickets, and that was roughly about 15,000 children with special needs as well would have been on using our buses,
the
school transport buses.
How many additional seats were made available?
Roughly 44,000.
Yeah. Now, did we ever
roughly 44,000?
Did we ever audit that 44,000 to find out how many of those seats were actually taken up? Because at that time, there were figures being put around that people, because it were free, were edging their bets effectively with no malice, but they were saying, right, well, we will apply for a seat then. But they didn't avail of it because it didn't fit in with the life of the family. And then those that had seats previously were excluded again through a random selection process. So did we ever audit how many of those extra seats were actually regularly taken? And do you think that would be an important exercise or useful exercise?
Yes, I think this was a cost of living measure. I think that was brought through sort of late last year, and this has been a real challenge, particularly, I mean, of course, across Auld Donegal and in a lot of rural regional towns, I'm sure across Ballyshannon and Bundoran. And, you know, it's the same where I'm from in sort of East Galway and Roscommon. There were a lot of schools, secondary schools, where people would have availed of what was known previously and still is as concessionary tickets. And the challenge was, as you said there, the capacity around bus Éireann having the buses and bus drivers, and just the nature of the announcement, which just came, I suppose, late in the year. And this is why, I suppose, I'm calling for sort of recommendations from the steering group that will come out early this year, so that we can start making plans early this year to ensure that we have the capacity. So that is the buses, that is the bus drivers. And again, that it is a positive measure that we've seen. It's positive to see so many parents and students availing of the bus. But as you say there, it's just, it did leave so many parents in dire situations who would previously maybe have always had access to this concessionary ticket. So they may not have fulfilled maybe every single part of the eligibility criteria, but there have been available seats on a bus. And I just think that, you know, we have to really get that, those recommendations early this year and put a plan in place. Mm-hmm. And it needs to be done hopefully from, say, February. And I suppose working with the steering group, that those recommendations are provided to the Minister of Education to be able to make those decisions for this coming year. You know, we have seen that this group were put in place from February 2021. So it's important. They've already given an interim report, and I suppose we just need to see that final report and those recommendations that will feed into, hopefully, the plan for this year, this coming year.
Yeah, and it needs just to be flexible. I mean, we have situations whereby their students miss out on a seat to a school because the distance to measure between where they live and the school uses an old back road over a hill that a bus couldn't even dream of going up. Do you know what I mean? Just common sense stuff. And you can imagine then how frustrating that might be for students and their parents. So at least use a road that a bus can actually travel on when determining distance. I know that's only a small part of it, but it's those types of rigid rules that leave people missing out for really no reason at all.
And I think, I mean, Bus Éireann, you know, so this is provided by the Department of Education, and they work with Bus Éireann around school transport. And Bus Éireann would have advertised, you know, through tender process and so on, for drivers and for people to join. So they were looking at, you know, there would have been minibuses, there would have been private providers of buses all around the area, in Donegal as well, who would have applied to work with Bus Éireann and taken on a contract, you know, to deliver a school bus service. And so minibuses and all types of transport can be considered on this, you know. And as you say there are many, you know, roads and borings and things like this that we have to be cognizant of and smart about. But it is about trying to reduce the number of car journeys on a road. And the same as for schools where I'm from as well, and I'm sure all across Donegal, sometimes you can have schools outside of the 50k limit. Do you know, like, they're in rural areas, they can be on country roads, they can be quite busy in the mornings, you know, people going to work, and they could be in an 80k stretch maybe, or they could be outside of a 50k stretch. And, you know, it's about safe pick-up and drop-off. Mm-hmm. And there's also the sort of active travel and safe routes to school as well from the Department of Transport. Those are all measures in the last year or 2 years as well, looking at how to make our schools safer. But definitely, I think reducing car journeys is a good way to go. But I suppose just that parents are not left struggling, because if, you know, so many parents were left where they would always have had a way for the children to get to school or the students to get to school. And it just caused so much pressure for mums and dads last year in certain situations. You know, we worked hard to make sure that tickets were then allocated over a number of months. But it was a difficult time. And I suppose that's why we want to see that this is put in place early this year.
Yeah. And do you think how there are certain rules, too, that seem to frustrate it? You know, I mean, everything obviously is always about the students and the schools and the teachers and all. But what about the people that provide the service? You know, there are some rules that apply, for instance, for people who are subcontracted by Bus Éireann that don't. That don't apply if you're independent of Bus Éireann. The retirement, a compulsory retirement age for drivers, you know, perfect buses that are for a certain age that can no longer be used, the blind tendering process, you know, maybe fussy inspectors, maybe not under the auspices or under your control. But do you think whilst we are reviewing it, we could review it across the board, particularly for those who really are that keep the wheels turning, quite literally?
Well, I really do look forward to seeing the recommendations coming from the steering group. You know, they have been reviewing this and they have been looking at it across probably a number of years. And I mean, you know, to take into account, I mean, our population, we've seen that from, you know, over 5.2 million, you know, the highest ever in Ireland. But of course, which is great, you know, you know, it's great. And hopefully we're seeing more people living in the West and in the Northwest. But it just means that obviously there are more children that need access to buses and getting to schools. And, you know, there's higher numbers in our primary schools and our secondary schools. So I think, you know, we need to look at all sorts of solutions here. And I would really, you know, hope that the steering group are doing that. I mean, they did, in their interim report, they did come out with a recommendation about the next nearest school for secondary schools. And that was a measure that the minister did consider and put in place. So, you know, there are, you know, this group would be knowledgeable and I would hope are looking across a wide range of areas, you know, for the report, the recommendations that they'll bring forward, hopefully.
All right, well, we'll watch on with interest to see if that is the case. Senator Aisling Dolan, thank you very much indeed. Aisling is Fine Gael Seanad spokesperson for Education Further and Higher Education. 0860 25000, that is your WhatsApp and text number. Keep us busy on that, if you don't mind. Right, OK, let us read some of your comments as I try and work out when I have to fire the next ad break. Right, OK. There is an app called Chat Me Chat that gives you AI girlfriend, boyfriend. This is not healthy and is going to skew young people's view of relationships even more. Yeah, indeed. Greg, I agree with... if I look up stuff on the phone, within half an hour I get stuff on my phone to do with what I look up. Yet, if you look it up on your phone, definitely. There's no doubt about that. It accesses your cookies. So when you go on a website and it says... things are actually worse now than they were before because people just say accept all cookies. Your phone now, your computer, and they're interchangeable now. If you search something on the internet, you will be fed adverts in relation to that and content in relation to that. That's happening. I was kind of joking with Kevin because I know he doesn't think the phones are listening to us, but I'll tell you, there's too many, and I'm not really a conspiracy theorist or whatever. I don't know, that maybe that phrase has different connotations now. I don't mean it in that regard. But, you know, there's been too many cases where I've been speaking and then adverts based on that conversation, nothing to do with what I've inputted into anything, I start getting adverts based on that conversation. I wish we knew when the far right were planning on having their protests so we could have a counter-protest to welcome refugees. Why are the hateful right so clandestine? Now, what I will say is that whilst there will always be people that will push a certain agenda, I think labelling everyone, or even labelling anyone, is not advisable. There are people in certain communities generationally that have struggled for accommodation, or parents that know that their children may never get accommodation. And in those same areas, then accommodation is found very quickly. And for the right reasons, to obviously offer people refuge. But they're going to have very genuine concerns, aren't they? And they're probably not the ones standing outside saying, get people out. But we also have to recognise that there are those who would love similar treatment, equal treatment. And there are the resources, if there were the will, to ensure that everyone is looked after. Many schools in Donegal are now facing language barriers. Would it be possible to bring translating technology into the classrooms on the likes of Alexa? I've spoken to people in education who've got really good suggestions in that regard. We shall see if any of them come to pass. Damien English resigns for breaching planning laws when it came to light that other TDs did the same thing months back. Did it not jog his memory? Taking the Irish people for fools should be made resign from everything, not just as junior TD for what they label as dishonesty. Current version of ChatGPT, says Michael on Twitter, it wouldn't be good enough to pass for coursework. I've used the free version as much as I could without subscribing and have to say it's good. I'd be more concerned with what ChatGPT will morph into in the future, as it's only going to get better, of course. Yeah, we have inputted a bit of information about Highland Radio and asked it to write a poem for us. It's all very exciting, isn't it? We'll reveal that to you after the 10 o'clock news. Damien English, Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, resigns his post and thinks we should all be grateful that he acknowledged his repentance for his mistake. A real resigning is leaving politics, not stepping down until the dust settles and then re-entering like nothing happened. It's time this country started to see more real accountability and not simply what they see as tokenism. Rightio.